Welcome back to Home Ice Advantage. I'm, of course, your host, Colin. We've got a pretty good episode for you. Not gonna lie, a pretty, pretty, pretty good episode. But before we even get to the intro, unfortunately, I was wrong about something.
Aww.
I know, it happens so infrequently, but I was wrong. And not only was I wrong, but I was, like, stupidly wrong. Like, if I didn't produce this podcast, if I wasn't the one in charge of it, I might just fire myself for being so confident in how wrong I was. So, without further ado, let me play the clip of me being stupendously wrong, and then I'll correct it and make a couple of more jokes about my own stupidity. And when it ends, he'll have 1 year of RFA, so he'll be an RFA at the end. So if he's our starter and he deserves a big payday, he'll get his bag. If he's not our starter, it's an easy contract to deal away. So I was talking about Pyotr Kochetkov's 4-year extension, which means 5 more years of him playing for the franchise, but that's not the point. That's not what I was wrong about. I said that at the end of this deal, he would be a restricted free agent. And that's just wrong. However, I do feel...
No, however, just be wrong. Just stand there and you're wrong. Listen, be wrong and get used to it.
I mean, a little rude, but I did say that I was a bit emotional in that episode. So, Kochetkov will not be an unrestricted free agent. He will be a free agent at the end of this contract. In fact, we bought a year of his free agency in this contract. Overall, my point about it being a tradable contract if things don't work out, or a super bargain contract if it does work out, remains the same. I guess from here we will actually transition into the show and talk about the games against the Calgary Flames and the... I almost said Pennsylvania Penguins. Pittsburgh Penguins. Anyways, play the intro. My brain's gone, guys. Just play the intro.
Welcome to Home Ice Advantage, with historical perspectives, modern-day deep dives, special guests, and a healthy mix of good, bad, and or hot takes. This is the best place for you to learn about your Carolina home games.
I just want to say thank you, and I'm looking forward to this challenge. It's an honor, and I think we're going to do great things.
So, obviously, we're going to start here with Calgary. And going into Calgary, there was a lot on our plate. We're on a 5-game losing streak. It is our 1 game at home before we start a 6-game road trip. And the vibes are off. If you've listened to the last podcast, I'm sorry. I was clearly over-emotional. But the Hurricanes had lost again 5 games in a row and dropped 8 out of the last 10 games. This game was important not only because you want to snap the losing streak, but because you don't want to enter a 6-game road trip on said losing streak. And the team had looked good in Boston. They had flashes of being the Hurricanes they were supposed to be. The Hurricanes they are destined to be. The first goal of the night comes off of Seth Jarvis's stick 6 minutes and 20 seconds into the fourth period. Seth Jarvis gets a great pass from Brent Burns, who enters the play right after getting on the ice. Brent collects the puck in between the dots, starts skating to his left, comes down a little bit, does a cross-crease pass to Seth Jarvis, who is wide open, and Carolina goes up 1-0 before Calgary even has a official shot on net. Well, this is what you want. This is exactly what you want. Jordan Staal would be called for holding 5 minutes later. And gonna be completely honest here, you know, last episode I ranted against the officials. Jordan Staal was super guilty of holding. It was unfortunate, it is what it is. And Calgary makes them pay. We go into the forced intermission with a tied hockey game at 1. And you, if you're Rod Brindamore, you have to be ripping into them. It's not that they played a bad period. It's that you're at home. the last time you were in this building, you were booed off the ice. And again, you need to start generating some type of momentum. And Martin Natchez picked up the message. Okay? 3 minutes and 41 seconds into the second period, Nason passes to a wide-open Martin Natchez on the right side of the net. And the Carolina Hurricanes get their third power play goal in just the last two games. After going six games without scoring, they now have three in just two games. Things are on the up and up. Things are working out, guys. Everything's going to be fine. At 12 minutes and 57 seconds, Carolina gets caught changing. And this has happened a lot, but basically, Toffoli gets a breakaway, he scores. And I don't know what it is about Carolina's line-changing efforts this year. That's not how I meant to phrase it, but it is what it is. Because they, I don't know if it's like the level of intensity of I need to get off the ice isn't really there. Because a player will jump on the ice, and the player who's supposed to be getting off the ice is still there. Like, they're raising their ankle to get on the bench. But there's not enough intensity there, and we've been caught on this multiple times, including Winnipeg, when we were caught on it twice in one game. But we go to the third period, and, you know, this is upsetting. It's a tied game, again, going into the second intermission, and, you know, you can't lose this game. You just can't lose this game. You need the momentum from it, first of all, for the six-game road trip, and you need to show the fans at home that you're still a good hockey team. And I don't want to hear it's early in the season. They can recover. If you're in that building, that game is all that matters. You're not thinking about game 82. You're thinking the Calgary Flames versus the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm here. I'm watching. I'm supervising. I'm here to chant, let's go Canes. Woo when they score goals. And for some people, boo them when I don't feel that their efforts matched their capability. And 8 minutes and 46 seconds into the third period, Kotkaniemi passes from behind the left side of the net to Brett Pesce, who beats the Calgary netminder blocker high. And you can actually see, go back and watch it, because it's a little funny that Vladar is pissed. Go back and watch him. I mean, literally go back and watch it on your NHL app. You can see him verbally yell the F word. Again, I'm trying not to swear. I still do it. Again, last episode. Over-emotional. But I try not to. But he's yelling. And you can literally see it in his face that he wants that goal back. A goal that would prove to be the game winner. It's just good vibes. I have nothing more to say than this was a very incredibly needed win. And the Canes are able to pull it out. And the post-game comments, I think, say more than anything I could add. So we're going to jump straight to head coach Rod Brind'Amour post-game after the Hurricanes snap a five-game losing streak.
I told the guys, playing well. Like, it's just, this isn't, I was actually worried because at some point you think you're going to have a game that's not so good. Like, we played well all this through the stretch and just haven't got any bounces. That's kind of what it's felt like. And obviously, you can be better in areas, but the games haven't been poor. You know, up until this last couple of games, I thought power play was been good. It just hadn't connected. And then it went through a couple of games where it wasn't very good, meaning we weren't creating a chance. And then that takes a little of your zip out of your overall game. But I thought tonight, you know, obviously scoring takes a little bit of stress off for sure. And then obviously we get the game winner on it. So. You know, and our kill has been really good too, and that hasn't been really rewarding. Tonight, the same thing. They got one, you know, shot, it just bounces right to the guy, and that was basically their chance. So things haven't kind of been easy, which is great that we, like I said, we've been sticking with it, and I thought we got what we deserved tonight. Like you said, they've been playing well. It's just everyone gets based, you know, on their results. Everyone looks at your record. Everyone looks at your, oh, you haven't scored, but might have been playing well. You might have scored three games in a row but played like crap, but everyone's going to say you're playing well. So you have to get on the score sheet, and we know that. That's big boy league. You got to put up points, and you got to win games.
For those of you wondering what that is, That is a NHL head coach who is defiant against the idea that his team has been playing poorly. I would argue that he might be glossing over a couple areas there, but I think it shows a lot that Rod Brind'Amour has faith and had faith in his team to put a season together and then go on a run. Rod Brind'Amour has never lost faith. Rod Brind'Amour would have never made my last podcast episode. Rod Brind'Amour has absolute faith in his squad to do what they're supposed to do and make it to the postseason. We'll finish the discussion of this game listening to Brett Pesce postgame, who scored the game winner, again assisted by Kotkaniemi.
It's huge. You know, everyone knows we faced adversity these past 5-6 games, so this was huge for us and just our confidence and just finding a way to win again. This will be good for us, obviously, going into a long road stretch. We trust in our system. It's worked for how many, 4 years now since Ryan's the coach. We know we're capable of. Everyone goes to adversity in the season. I think the biggest thing is just sticking with our game plan, and we just continue to do that. And today we got some bounces, and obviously power play and special teams wins games. So it was good today.
And before we travel up north to Pennsylvania to talk about the Hurricanes taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins, I want to cover some news, as I like to do. So, first things first is the Carolina Hurricanes announced that Cam Ward will be the fourth player inaugurated into the Hurricanes Hall of Fame in February. I've been outspoken about how Cam Ward should be in the Hall of Fame. I thought he should actually be used as a vehicle to create the Hall of Fame because I didn't think they were going to retire his number. So, happy all around there. This does mean that there is still one person from the inaugural Hall of Fame class, had to think about how to say that one, to be named. So, not only will there be the four players of the retired three of Glenn Wesley, Ron Francis, and Rod Brind'Amour, now Cam Ward going along with them, there's also going to be a contributor, which, defined by the team, eligible contributors include non-uniform club personnel who have been employed by the Hurricanes for a minimum of 10 years and or won the Stanley Cup or a major NHL award during their tenure with the Hurricanes. Contributors must demonstrate exceptional attributes in coaching, managerial, or executive leadership, or have proven their ability in another significant off-ice role, sportsmanship, character, and contributions to the Hurricanes. And they may be active or inactive in professional or international hockey at the time of their election. That was Danny. If you've ever thought my dog from the ad is fake, it's not. Anyways, so this leaves a whole bunch of people that could still be named. Whether it's a coach, it could be Paul Maurice, our longest serving coach. He had 2 tenures with the franchise. It could be Peter Laviolette, who won the Stanley Cup here. It could be, it could be John Forslund or Chuck Hayden, who were both play-by-play voices for the Canes for 23 years. The major point of this one is just to keep your eyes open because there's still one person to be announced. And then the second little piece of news actually comes from Twitter, and specifically Mike Forman, who is the CMO or Chief Marketing Officer for the Hurricanes, who tweeted out that your Carolina Hurricanes, through the first quarter of the season, have a 98.3% capacity at home games. They currently ranked 7th in the league, averaging 18,369 fans in attendance. This is actually very important. I was on the Morning After podcast with Adam Gold, which will be released today after the game in Pittsburgh, and I talked about how Tom Dundon has results as owner, and this is one of them. If you look back at our attendance levels prior to his purchase of the team in 2017-2018, we ranked 29th in the league, and we averaged 71.3% attendance. And it's slowly been ticking up since Dundon bought the team. So he bought the team in late 2018, and then in 2018-2019, the team was ranked at 28th, 27.6% attendance, which is a 5% increase. Oh my god, that's amazing. The following season, in 2019-2020, the Hurricanes were ranked 22nd, with 90.5% attendance. And again, like that is a major jump. So they went from the bottom of the league at 29th to 22nd in just 2 years. And while that's still not amazing, it's better than it was. And it shows progress. And then last year, 2021-2022, we ranked 13th. We jumped 9 rungs. And we had an average fan attendance of 90.5%. That's incredible. We jumped from 29th to 13th. So we jumped 16 spaces. And for, you know, normal seasons, you'll notice I pulled out the COVID season, and that just kind of is what it is. But so far, again this year, and that's the reason I told you all these numbers was to amplify the fact that I've already told you that we are currently ranked 7th at 98.3% capacity on the year. So if you've attended a Carolina Hurricanes game this year, nice job, wow, everyone. Pat yourself on the back. If you haven't, well, you're missing out, because everyone else is.
Do you need more friends? Do you have enough friends but feel that you may need more responsibility? Do you need a furry pal to cuddle with at the end of a long day? Well, the Wake County Animal Center has you covered. With small friends ranging from farmyard animals to small critters and everyone's favorite four-legged pals, the Wake County Animal Center has you covered when it comes to finding a new companion. In the description of this episode and all episodes going forwards, there will be a link to the Wake County Animal Center photo gallery where you can view rabbits, dogs, cats, birds, guinea pigs. I was actually shocked by this one, but chickens and roosters, which is a thing, apparently. Consider adopting or fostering a friend today. That's where I got my dog, Danny. And Danny's great. Say hi, Danny.
So from there, we will obviously finish with the game in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Steel Town, you may say. And this is a semi-important game. First, it's our first Metro Division game in a minute, and it's our last Metro Division game for a minute. So you obviously want to win. You want to get your 2 points and stay in the upper echelon of Metro Division teams. But it's also the beginning of your 6-game road trip. So you want to prove that Calgary game wasn't a fluke and the mojo's back. Yeah, the mojo's back in town. The boys are back in town, except it's an away game, so they're not. Kochekov would get the start. Rod Brindamore would not change his lines for the first time in like 4 games. To start the game, but Sidney Crosby would open up scoring 4 minutes and 34 minutes into the game, right after Carolina didn't convert the first power play of the game. In fact, for the first time in 2 games, it's a sad one, the Hurricanes did not score on the power play.
Aww.
I know. We all expected them to do it. We assumed that they would now scoring every power play into the history of time, but tonight they did not convert on any of their 2 power play opportunities. It's a shame. But Sid Crosby opens scoring 4 minutes into the game off of a goal that I'm 97.6% sure that Kochekov would want back. Crosby's right in front of him. He stops the puck with his skate, gives it to his stick, and then beats Kochekov on the glove side, right in between his glove and his pad. The unfortunate part about it is Carolina was putting together a good first period. And, you know, stop me for this one before. Carolina would go into the intermission, down 1-0, but would lead in shots on goal, 13-8. You got to think, if you're Rod Brindamore, you don't even say anything in the room. They know what they need to do. And 5 minutes and 45 seconds into the period, Martin Natchez is in the right place at the right time and collects a rebound and makes it a 1-1 hockey game. Now, you may be asking yourself, hey, Colin, what about Sebastian Aho robbing Jalen Schaffield of his first goal of the season? Aren't you going to talk about that? And no, I'm not, because I talked about it on the Morning After podcast with Adam Gold. So go listen to that. You hear? God. But anyways, Martin Natchez ties the game at 1. Everything is swell. Okay, it's 1-1 hockey game. We're a much better team. We are better than Pittsburgh. Honestly, it's funny because we've actually had similar seasons, like start to the seasons, except that Pittsburgh went on their losing streak like a month ago, and we just ended ours. Andrei Svechnikov would make it a 2-1 game before the end of the second period after collecting a rebound from an Aho opportunity, then wrapping around the net and beating Jory, who's trying to slam his, like, the edge of his stick down in front of the crease before Svechnikov could get there. Didn't do it in time. 2-1 game. Andrei Svechnikov is a BAMF. And if you don't know what that is, and you're under the age of 18, don't look it up. If you're above the age of 18 and you're okay with swearing, look it up. You know, 2-1 hockey games are fun, but that's, you know, every single Penguins player has the game on their stick. That's what that means. A one-goal game means every single time the opposition touches that puck, they have the game on their stick. And honestly, I mean, there was, what, 2 minutes left in the second period? It's whatever. We'll run out the second period, and then we have 20 minutes to protect our lead. And you know Carolina, if they're going to give up a goal in the third period of a game, it's not going to be early. It's not. It's going to be the final couple of minutes. Nah, it won't be the final couple of minutes. It will be the final minute of the game, and that's when the Hurricanes will give up their tying goal and, you know, try to hand the lead away, maybe give Pittsburgh a loser point. And that's exactly what they did. Again, final minute of the game. It happens. You would hope that it didn't, because when this goal happens, Aho almost gets an empty netter, but can't quite get a shot off. Doesn't go in. They put Jory back in net, face off, back in Carolina's zone. They pull him off the net again. Pittsburgh obviously generates pressure in Carolina's zone. Crosby passes it to Petrie, who's at the point, who then, without hesitation, fires it at the net. It just barely, and I mean just barely, screeches by Brent Burns. And Gitzlatt tips it, goal, tied game with 58 seconds remaining. And every Carolina Hurricanes fan thinks, I've seen this show before. I know, there's different characters. They're in different costumes. But I have seen this episode of television before. And the game goes to overtime. Pittsburgh would win the first face-off, have their possession for a little bit, eventually lose it. Carolina would have possession for a little bit, and they would go back and forth like that for about the first 2 minutes. And then, Seth Jarvis, who decided this game to pop off and throw 7 hits, decides to throw a hit in overtime. It's probably a dirty hit, not gonna lie. Probably not hit you should have been throwing, and you might argue that he turned or spun or whatever, but Seth Jarvis throws a hit that he shouldn't have thrown, and all three of Pittsburgh's players take exception to it. And actually, it wasn't all three, because at the time, Pittsburgh was guilty of too many men on the ice. So all four of Pittsburgh players take exception to it. Brett Pesce, Andrei Svechnikov, not hearing a whistle, decide, well, I'm going to go that way and start heading into the Pittsburgh zone. And eventually one of the Pittsburgh players notices and follows, but it was too late. Pesce carries it into the zone, then passes to Aho, who is trailing him. And Svechnikov can take a shot. He's a goal scorer. I'm assuming that the only reason Pesce passed it to Svechnikov is because he knew the chances were higher that Svechnikov would score. They both come close to the net, and Svechnikov passes it back to Brett Pesce. Brett Pesce scores. Carolina Hurricanes win it in overtime. And just a little sidebar here. I think the reason that Jarvis wasn't called was because Pittsburgh was guilty of too many men on the ice. So the refs were like, screw it. We're not going to call matching penalties. Just let him play. And because Pittsburgh assumed there'd be a whistle, they stopped playing. And because Brett Pesce didn't hear a whistle, he kept playing. And ultimately, that's how the Hurricanes win 3-2 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. From here, we will go into the locker room, listen to some post-game. Wow, don't know what I just said. We'll listen to some post-game of Rod Brind'Amour. I want to talk about Jordan Marinuk because this was his 500th career NHL game. And we'll wrap up the episode, and you'll go listen to the Morning After podcast with me and Adam Gold. Without further ado, let's hear from the head coach.
Yeah, I didn't love our first period. I thought, especially after the first power play, we kind of just, they got life. And then, but after that goal, and then I felt like we really played a solid game. Like, I felt like we could have had a bunch of goals tonight. And, just like I said, I like the effort through about 55 minutes of that game. You know, after a slow little sluggish start, I thought we were really solid.
Unfortunately, that's like literally all of the usable audio from Rod Brind'Amour talking post-game. I'm sure you could hear the, I don't know if it was a vacuum, whatever was going on in Pittsburgh, but they were doing something. Audio quality was terrible. The entire scrum only lasted like a minute and a half, which is well shorter than Rod normally talks post-game. So I'm assuming there was a lot of stuff that happened there, or whatever. So that's all we get. Sorry. But moving on to Jordan Mornuk, who played in his 500th career NHL game today. First of all, class act, right? We all know that about Jordan Mornuk. Class act. But originally drafted in the second round, 58th overall in 2012 by the Coyotes, Mornuk has split his career between two teams. The one that drafted him, playing 247 games for the Coyotes, and the one he hopes to retire from, playing, as of now, 253 games for the Carolina Hurricanes. And if you haven't watched it, unfortunately I can't play it because copyright reasons. If you haven't watched his forced intermission interview with Hannah Yates, it's worth a watch. He gets emotional, he thanks his mom and his sister for their sacrifices, and he's just really happy he got to this milestone. But I want to talk about his mother, who tweeted a message about her son earlier in the day before puck drop.
"So proud of my son. Hard work, determination, and work ethic, only a few of his admirable qualities. Hashtag bias mama."
I don't know, guys. This is one of those times where Mornuk has had a season. First of all, he started off very well for his role. Not only that, but he survived ravers before opening night, and he takes constant criticism from his team's apparent loyal fans. Tonight, he accomplished a career milestone and skated in his 500th career NHL game. And that's pretty cool to me. As always, I want to thank you for listening to Home Ice Advantage. If it wasn't for listeners like you, I would not be doing this today. I've mentioned it already, but I appeared on the Morning After podcast with Adam Gold last night, so go ahead and go check that out. You can always follow me on Twitter at ColinHomeIce, Colin with two L's. There is links down below if you need them to our Instagram, Facebook page, Twitter, my Substack where I write articles every once in a while. There should be another one coming out fairly soon about something I touched on this episode, but I went in greater details. I have some exciting things planned for the holiday season, a special interview, and don't forget the Shock the Rock special. Enjoy your week.